leading today. Appreciate that. While Brother Kenny's got a special for us, while he's coming, make one more announcement. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer for our Christmas program. So if you have kids or grandkids or cousins who want to be a part of our Christmas program, put their name down there. Also, there's a place for special music. If you have that talent and want to share that with us, please sign up. And Sister Sandra's and is our main coordinator with Sister Liz and Sister Amy, and that'll help them better to know what they're working with. It's going to be upon us before you know it. So if you want to be a part of that, just sign up on the sign-up sheet. Good morning, Brother Kenny.
Morning, Brother Andy. Good to see Miss Rachel back and Brother Bub, and I figured I better do a song or she'll get me before I get out the door if I don't. So, it's good to see y'all back. And, I love my church family, and I'm feel blessed to be here, and I'm always blessed to be able to get up here and play. And there's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever, and we only reach that shore by faith's decree. One by one we'll gain the portals there to dwell with the immortals when they ring the golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear the bells are ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me, we shall know no sin or sorrow in that haven of tomorrow, when our bark shall sail beyond the silver sea. We shall only know the blessing of our Father's sweet caressing when they ring the golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear the bells are ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me. When our days shall know their number, and in death we sweetly slumber, and the King commands our spirit to be free, nevermore in anguish laden, we shall reach that lovely Aden when they ring the golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear the bells are ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me. In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me.
Appreciate that good song. Thank you, Brother Kenny. Any word of testimony on anyone's heart before we get to the word? I'm going to be reading from 2 Samuel in just a moment, the 23rd chapter. As always, I desire your prayers as I try to share what God's placed on my heart for us today. Again, going to be reading from 2 Samuel chapter 23. David, in this portion of God's Word, he begins to profess his faith in God's promises. And God, of course, had made a promise to make an everlasting covenant. And we're talking about David here, and you know, David is one of those Bible characters that, well, there's a lot of different things that happened in his life. Bible refers to him in a couple of places in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and also again in Acts chapter 13. Talks about David as being a man after God's own heart. But David also, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, it referred to him as being a valiant man. It referred to him as being a man of war. And I want to begin my reading today in verse 8 of this 23rd chapter. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Techmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodu, a whole height, one of three mighty men whom David, when they defied the Philistines, that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave under the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground, and he defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I'm going to stop my scripture reading from 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 through 12. I want to take a text from the book of Psalms, the 27th chapter. And in this 27th chapter, David again is professing his faith. What I read in 2 Samuel, he was professing his faith in the Lord, but here in this 27th Psalm, he now is sustaining his faith. He's talking about the sustaining of his faith and where that comes from, and it's through the power of God. And the verse I'm going to actually read a couple more verses than I thought. I was just going to read verse 3, but let's begin at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. My thought for a few moments of time this morning is, we honor and give thanks. Now that statement, it really could apply to many things. And certainly, as we gather together today, first and foremost, I want to honor and I want to give thanks to my Savior. Whenever we gather together and whenever we assemble in this place, it is to esteem, it is to show respect, it is to give reverence to the Lord. As we gather to express our devotion and we gather to express our thankfulness to Him. Why? For His love, for His sacrifice, because that's what brought about redemption. That's what made our salvation possible. But this morning, I've titled my message or my sermon, we honor and we give thanks with our veterans in mind, as we, as a nation, recognize our veterans this weekend. My great-grandfather, Grandpa Newman, we called him, he was a veteran who served in World War I. And when he came home from that war, he was, as they called it then, he was shell-shocked, is what they called it. And that was a phrase that they used to describe the type of post-traumatic disorder that he and many other soldiers were afflicted with during that war. That was before PTSD became a term that we're familiar with today. And I have many memories of the times that we visited with him and the behavior that he exhibited, and, you know, the voices he heard, and he would talk and there'd be nobody there, and different things that he experienced as a result of that. Dawn's dad, my father-in-law, Jerry, he's gone on to be with the Lord as well, but Jerry served in the Korean War. And like many others who served in times of combat, Jerry never really talked about his combat. He had a lot of good stories about basic training and different things that went on that were funny, but he never really talked about his involvement, and I understand why. We'd sit at home sometimes with Dawn's dad, and a war movie would come on, and I mean, it wasn't seconds, and tears would just start rolling down his face. And you know, the depiction of Hollywood, there's a lot of movies out, but it rarely captures the authenticity of war. And when you watch those movies, their goal, of course, is usually to entertain. The goal, of course, is to have a hero that inspires us in victory over these insurmountable odds that are depicted there. But in truth, you know, when we think about war, every war that has been fought with a great price to all nations involved and all forces involved on either side. And the real heroes, they're really the men and women who served, the men and women who fought over the years, and as I heard in prayer today, those that are still in service and still serving our country today. In 1938, the 11th of November became a legal holiday, a day to be dedicated to the cause of world peace. And it was to be celebrated and known as Armistice Day to honor the veterans of World War I. And they were celebrating, of course, the end to World War I. In 1954, the wording was changed. And the wording was changed to be Veterans Day. And on November 11th, yesterday, officially, it became a day to honor all American veterans of all wars. And I want to say to those that are in our congregation today that we're thankful and we are grateful and we are happy to honor all of our armed service veterans that are with us today. And the reason, brothers and sisters, is because they deserve it. Because they deserve it. I believe that this is a biblically supported practice. There are several places in the Bible that speak about honoring warriors who fight in battle. My reading here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, I think, is one of them. As we read in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we all know when we hear the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it's most of the times referred to as the Heroes of Faith chapter. And they weren't just passive heroes who had faith. Many of them were engaged in active battle in life. And I want to read a couple of verses from that 11th chapter, beginning in verse 32, that records this about them. Verse 32 says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You know, as we read through the Bible, it's hard to ignore all the fighting and all the war and all the bloodshed that we see throughout the Scriptures, thousands being slain at a time among not only God's people, but also the enemies that were being fought against. You know, people oftentimes question, they say, well, if God is love, and if the Scriptures teach that we are to love our neighbor as ourself, well, how does war promote love? And I think, you know, as I was thinking about it, you know, the truth is sometimes the most loving thing that we can do for somebody is to war against them. Now, that may sound strange, but what I mean is, you know, Christians have done that throughout time, standing for the truth down through the ages. And they were being persecuted as Christians for what they were fighting for their faith. And brothers and sisters, they're still being persecuted today throughout the world. And, you know, I wonder sometimes, you know, in May, the first Thursday in May, if I said that to you, I wonder how many know what that is. Anybody know what the first Thursday in May is of every year? Yes, it's the National Day of Prayer. But I wonder how many know that last Sunday, and I wonder how many know that this Sunday is termed as the International Day of Prayer for our persecuted churches. And around the world, it's calling Christian people to pray for those around the globe that are suffering in prisons, for those around the world today that are enduring physical punishment, for those around the world today that are even suffering death, being murdered because of their faith. This morning, I thank the Lord for those standing for truth. I thank the Lord for those that are defending the truth. I thank the Lord for those today that allow us the freedom to practice our faith just like we're doing right here and right now today. David, in my scripture, as I said earlier, he was known as a man of war. In the 144th Psalm, and in the very first verse, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." David was praising the Lord. What was he praising the Lord for? He was praising the Lord for giving him the ability to fight his enemies. He was praising the Lord for the skills that he had as a warrior. Now, I haven't found any place in Scripture recorded where David was ever wounded in battle. Surely, in all the battles that he was in, surely he suffered some injuries, but apparently none of them were ever serious enough to merit mention in the Scripture. God had blessed him in so many ways, and David, he didn't take credit for his abilities and skills. The Bible tells us in many places that David gave God all the glory for his battle skills, and he blessed or praised the Lord for being his strength and for preparing him for war and the battles that he experienced. It was the Lord who equipped David to face every opposition that he faced. And, you know, David, when he looked at war, he saw war as a means of protecting the safety of his family and for protecting the nation of which he was serving. And, of course, many would argue that he was the greatest king that there ever was. And we know that he wasn't alone. You know, my reading here in 2 Samuel, it listed the names of the mighty men that David had, as it said. We read of one who raised his spear against 800 at one time and slew them all. Another, Eleazar, he stood against the Philistines with David alone. And he killed so many, the scripture said, I'm going to phrase it a little bit easier to understand here, but he killed so many that his hand cramped and it froze to the sword. If you've ever done anything where you kept your hand in one position for some time, you can't open your hand. And this man had done that in this battle for so long that his hand had froze, if you will, to the sword. The chapter goes on to list the names of many more veterans that were in David's army. They successfully defended the kingdom of God's people time and time again. They fought so that their nation could enjoy peace. David's legacy to his son Solomon was to inherit a kingdom that had peace on every side. And that peace came at the price of warfare. It came at the price of bloodshed. So why would God list or record this list of veterans that we see in the Scripture? Me, for myself, I think it's provided, brothers and sisters, there for our encouragement. I think it's there for our encouragement. He wants us to learn something from the example of these that I've shared with you. The well-being of a nation, the well-being of a people is dependent upon those who will boldly stand and defend it. And as we recognize, and as we honor, and as we give thanks to our veterans, may we remember always that the price of freedom, that's just it. It has a price. There's a price to it. Those who serve in any battle, I don't think they fight for the sake of killing. I don't think they fight for the sake of rewards. I don't think they fight for the sake of recognition. Wars, battles are fought for causes. As children, we heard and we learned about the Bible record of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17 records that account. Israel and the Philistines, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but Israel and the Philistines, they were set on each side from one another. They were prepared to go to battle. And Goliath, he comes forward and he challenges combat between himself of the Philistines and one from the nation of Israel. Instead of two armies flowing together and who knows how great of a number of loss of life, they said, let's just one from our side, one from your side, and whoever is victorious in that battle, the other one will be the servant of the other one. Made a lot of sense. A lot less bloodshed. And the result, if they abided by it, would be one would serve the other. But the Bible tells us that when the Israelites heard that no Israelite came forward to accept. The Scripture said they were dismayed. The Scripture said they were greatly afraid. King Saul at the time, he wanted somebody to do that, so he made a good offer. He said, whoever will go up against this giant, this Goliath, he says, I'll offer you great wealth. He said, if you'll go up against him, you can marry my daughter. If you'll go against him, you won't have to pay taxes for the rest of your life. No one responded. No one would fight for those reasons. David, he hears Goliath's blasphemy against God. And he knows that he has to do something. And you know the phrase. He said to all of them, he said, is there not a cause? And the story goes on to record David saying this to Goliath, the 17th chapter, beginning in verse 45. Thou comest to me with a sword. David speaking to Goliath. Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. there was the cause. David stood up for the name of the Lord Almighty God so that the whole world would know that there was a God in Israel. I never want to forget the veterans of the Christian faith. I never want to forget them who made sure that the gospel message came all the way down to me in my generation, and I heard it and I was saved. Maybe you can say the same thing this morning. I'm so thankful for that. Why do we fight today? Well, same reasons. We fight for the sake of freedom. And as we honor our veterans today, we remember that they paid a great price to preserve the freedom that we enjoy today. Freedom, my friends, it's never free. There is always a price that's paid. And because of our veterans' sacrifices, we should honor those who fought for that freedom. If you look down in verse 18 of my reading lesson, it tells us of another veteran by the name of Abishai. He was the brother of Joab. The scripture there tells us that he raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed, and then it says that he was honored among men. Today, as you think about our veterans, don't just be thankful as you remember their service. I would encourage you to continue to consider the next step. I would encourage you to think about how you might show them the honor that I think they are deserving of. You know, we look at the news today and it's filled with veterans that are disabled. It's filled with veterans that are jobless. It's filled with veterans that are homeless, those that are suffering physically and suffering mentally because of their service. And I think much could be done to solve many of those issues, of course, but the most basic, and I mean this is the most basic way that we can honor them, is to thank them, to express our thankfulness to them. I'm proud of our school system here. I'm proud of one of our local banks because I think they're doing that. They have done that this past week, and they have shown respect and honor to our veterans. And again, they deserve all the honor, they deserve our respect, and they deserve our gratitude. And I'm one of those, if you see a serviceman in uniform, and it's not Veterans Day, you know, we have a tendency to do things around holidays, but if it's not Veterans Day and you see one, I don't think there's anything wrong with going up to them and thanking them and shaking their hand and telling them, I appreciate what you're doing. They're making a sacrifice of their life and of their time, and we need to show that thankfulness to them as they're serving our country. Most of you know I watch movies sometimes. They're not, don't take a lot of thought or anything to watch them, but, you know, as Christmas time comes around, one of my favorite Christmas time movies is called The Christmas Card. And it's a Hallmark movie. Yeah, I watch Hallmark movies. But anyway, it's about a woman who makes out Christmas cards, and she sends them to men in the service that are out on the battlefield. She don't know who they are, but she takes time to write a personal note in them to each one, and she sends it. And the gist of the movie is one of the servicemen who's on the battlefield receives one. And it means so much to him in getting that, to see her passion that she had for her country and those that serve, that it impacted him in such a great way that he went there. And anyway, it's a love story. But it's got a wonderful message about what she was doing for those that were in the service. And as we consider the veterans here in 2 Samuel, those who fought wars of the past, there's actually things we can learn from them. And we can learn the lesson that we need at times to take a stand. And when we take that stand, we need to stand our ground. Whether it be in a physical situation or brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it be in a spiritual situation. I hope you've heard me in my message. I'm talking about veterans today that are here that have fought in wars, and I'm talking from a spiritual aspect, the veterans of the past in God's Word that fought for the truth of God's Word. We need to think about whichever way it was. You know, I don't think we run to fight, but we don't run from a fight either. That's the lesson that we can see in this. And we see in Scripture men who took a stand regardless of the opposition. I can't imagine, verse 8 here, one man facing 800 people. That's not good odds. And, you know, but he stood his ground. And then we read about another one, Shammah. He draws a line in his pea patch, if you will, lintel, amongst the lintels. He draws a line and says, no further. And even though everybody else had fled, he stood his ground and he fought and he was victorious. Eleazar, as I said, he fought so long that his hand froze to the sword, meaning he gripped it for so long that he couldn't open his hand. And what did David call these men? He called them mighty men. These were his mighty men and women who had a policy of no retreat, no reserve, no regrets. They served their king faithfully. When I think about soldiers throughout time, you know, they've never fought alone. And I'm not talking about those that fought right alongside of them, who they depended on and trusted to have their back. I'm talking about those that were on home ground, those that were back home who had a part. And we always have a part in any battle. And that is the part of praying for those that are in harm's way. Brother Jerry did that in his prayer today. He prayed for those that are on foreign soil. He prayed for those that are embattled. You know, we as Christian people, we believe that God hears our prayers, don't we? If we didn't believe that, why would we even bother? Why would we waste our time? We pray because we believe that God hears our prayers, and that's just not it either, is it? We believe he hears our prayers, but what do we also believe? That he answers our prayers. So we need to always be prayerful, and we need to always cry out to God for his help in protecting those who are protecting us. I mentioned the 144th Psalm earlier, where David cries out to God for help in war. Verse 5 says, bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. A beautiful reminder to us of the way that we can pray for the brave men and women that fight for our country. David called upon God to do what? To demonstrate his power. He called upon God to rescue his people. He called upon him to scatter and to destroy the enemies. Is God moved to act when his people pray? Yeah, I believe he does. And I believe we have many examples of it in scriptures. Brothers and sisters, today, I bring my message to a close. Let us honor, let us give thanks to our veterans. Let us give thanks to them as we remember their service. And we honor them for standing their ground for what was right. May we continue to be prayerful for those that are currently serving our nation. I hear all the time about what a terrible place this is and what all the stuff that's going on in our country. And you know what? I wouldn't want to live anywhere else today than the good old U.S. of A. There's a lot worse places to be in the world today, and I'm thankful that this is the place where I reside. And I'm thankful for those over the years that have sacrificed of themselves, some even unto death, that we might be able to gather here today and to be able to meet and to be able to worship and to be able to uplift the name of Jesus. I want to close my message, and I want to close our service today. Veterans that are with us today, would you stand for just a moment? Men, women that have served, would you stand for just a moment? All that are in the house today, doesn't matter if you're visiting with us. Now that you're standing, I'd like you to come up to the front of the church, if you would. I would like for us as a body today to express our thanks to you by shaking your hand. Would you come? Come on. We appreciate you, and your service. Brother Ronnie, come on, brother. Get Brother Todd out of the sound booth back there. Brother Allen, would you come and maybe lead in song for us while we sing? And brothers and sisters, all of these that are coming and all these that are standing before us today, you know, I'm not going to go down the line and ask them to tell us their name or what war they served in or what branch of the army they was. They can share that with you if they want to. But I just want us to take just a moment today to thank them, each and every one of them, for the sacrifices they made, whatever they were. And we appreciate that we're able to gather today and worship because of the sacrifices they made. Let's stand together. Brother Ronnie, come up here. Did you stand? I thought you stood. No? You see?
Glad to have you with us today. You got to switch ours.
Don't drop her. She's a squirmer, it looks like. Yeah. Cleansing flood. Thank you, Brother Allen. Bless you, brother. Thank you. Bless you, brother. Amen. Is there any other word on anyone's heart before we have our dismissal prayer today? We certainly appreciate all these brethren. Any word, testimony, any comments before we bring our service to a close? We're thankful for each one that's gathered with us today. You can meet back with us tonight. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock for this evening service. Don't forget Wednesday, Thanksgiving meal. Let's all get together and let's plan on a good meal together. I think we got 4 turkeys ordered up, going to be smoked, and we got ham, so we'll have plenty of meats and bring some sides, and we'll have a good time. 6 o'clock Wednesday. No other word?